Let's just open in prayer. Father, we pray that tonight will benefit us all. We pray that you'll give us that teachable spirit where we won't think we already know what we're going to hear. Help us, Lord, even to be pleasantly surprised at how little we know. And Father, we just want to pray that you bless our time. May there be real questions during the session after this. May there be stirred up hearts and minds. Give us courage to ask questions, Lord, that make our heads spin, so that we will realize how deep this goes and how wonderful you are. In Jesus' name, amen. It might sound like a silly question. What is a church? I would have thought it was a silly question even 10 years ago, even sooner. You know, church, it's obvious. But it's one of the most misunderstood words in the English language. I said this morning, and I'll say it again because repetition's sometimes good. Church is not a building. This is a chapel. We're supposed to call this a chapel. Did you know that, as Protestants? This isn't a church, it's a chapel. A chapel is a place of worship. The church come into the chapel to worship. Do you know that you didn't come to church today? No, if you're a Christian, the church came to chapel to worship. We seem to have this funny idea that church is a building or a group, a particular denomination, and we're so wrong. I think I mentioned it 2 weeks back. There was a man called Jan Hus. He was a Czechoslovakia, Czech in those days. He was burned at the stake about 100 years before Luther was even born for claiming what I'm going to tell you tonight. It was a capital offense to define church the way I'm going to explain it tonight. Shockingly, because what I'm going to say is nothing more than what the Bible clearly teaches. But we're going to look at what the church is, very briefly, which I pretty much did this morning anyway. And then I'm going to show you how this church, Cold Harbor Evangelical, has the right idea of what church is and why we do, and I can prove it. And then we're going to have a break for coffee and tea and then fire away with questions about anything I say tonight regarding church. Okay, so pay attention. I hope you have good questions. Firstly, church in the Greek is ekklesia. It's obvious what that means. It's just the called ones, people who are called. Listen now to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, as Peter the Apostle describes the church. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, keep that in mind, a holy nation, keep that in mind when we come to some people's ideas. A people belonging to God. Well, why are we a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God? That you may declare, there's the declaration of the gospel, the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You must say, well, who are the people mentioned here? Who are the holy nation, the royal priesthood? It's those who are called. Do you see that? It's obvious in the Greek language. It actually says, ekkalesahoumas. He churched you. You are churched if you're one of these people. Called, holy nation, a priesthood belonging to God, those who are to declare the praises of him. That's who we are, the called ones. Every person who has been convicted by the word and the spirit of sin, righteousness and judgment, and only you know if that's you or not. Everyone who's been convicted has heard God's call. And nobody that's heard God's call, truly heard it, is not a member of Christ's church. The calling of God is irrevocable. It's without repentance. If you've been called, you're called for life. Now, that is what Jan Hus was burned at the stake for saying, that church is basically people who've been called by God from Abel right through to the last person before Jesus returns. He was burned for saying that. We claim that tonight as Cold Harbor Evangelical Church. We believe the church are a called out community of regenerated people. And because of that, I've got five distinct marks of what it means to believe this. Firstly, in the light of the fact that we in this church believe that church is the called people, we do not have priests, but pastors and elders. Why do I say that? Why is that a proof that we believe in the true church? We read in our text that those who are called out of darkness and into God's wonderful life, light, are a royal priesthood. What is a priest? Somebody that can go directly into the holy presence of God and communicate face to face with God. In the Old Testament, you had a set apart people, the children of Levi, and they were the ones who had the privilege of standing between man and God, and they faced God on everybody else's behalf. But since we have been called out of darkness, we've been made, all of us, a royal priesthood. Every time you pray to God, our Father, you're entering the very holy of holies, daring to call God Father. You're a priest. Therefore, we do not believe in this church in priests. You don't have to call me Father. I don't wear a little dog collar. I am not clergy. I'm not set above everybody else in some sort of supernatural way where, you know, there are certain people that have a higher calling than everybody else. Because we believe we are the church, we are all a priesthood. We're called of God, and to be called is to be rendered a priest, to hear the very voice of God. Therefore, we have brothers and sisters appointed by the church, by God's guidance, as elders. We do not have priests in this church because we are a church. We're all called. There's no clergy. Does that make sense? All right, write any questions down you have about that. We don't believe in priests. Secondly, because we are ecclesia and we believe in Huss's definition of church, we do not have parishioners in this church. We have members. What's the difference? Any of you come from Anglican, Roman Catholic backgrounds? A parishioner is anybody in the neighborhood who's been christened by the church. If you look at the roles, the parishioner roles in your local Anglican church, you'll find they've got thousands of people. They've got big fat books like that on how many people belong to their church. You would say, whoa, they've got whopping. I bet you this church next door has a few thousand parishioners. To be a parishioner of a church in the Anglican denomination or the Roman Catholic denomination is simply to have been christened. And if you've been christened, you go in their book and you're a parishioner and you're a part of their church, even if you only go three times in your life. Ever heard of the Hatch? What's it? Hatch, Match, Dispatch people. They get christened in the church. They marry in the church. And they get buried in the church. And that's all they have to do with it. But they're parishioners. They're part of the church, inverted commas, because they were christened. We do not believe in this church in parishioners. We believe in members. Everyone who's part of this church has been called. You cannot be a member of this church unless you have heard the call of Christ. Does that make sense? So we don't have priests. We have pastors and elders. We don't have parishioners, we have members. Simply on the grounds of ecclesia. Thirdly, we don't believe in this church in sacraments, but in sermons. If you go to any Anglican, well, most Anglican churches, or Orthodox or Catholic, you will find right in the front of their churches is what's known as an altar. Big, usually a marble table. And there's usually a rail there. You can't go into the very back part. You all know what I'm talking about. These churches believe in sacraments. They believe that there is a supernatural power given through objects like holy water, like wafers given at the communion, like the touch of the priest's hands with a prayer. And sacraments convey God's power to the people. Now, in our church, we don't have an altar. We have a pulpit in the place where the altar stands with other churches. Why? Because we believe God's power comes through a message. It's the hearing of the call that's the power of God. The foolishness of preaching for those is the power of God to those who believe. We believe preaching is the only way God's power is conveyed and renders people called. You cannot be convicted by God and called of God unless the word is activating your conscience by the Holy Spirit. So we believe not in sacraments. There's no power. You know, I might have lovely hands, but my hand on your head isn't going to make you any more holy than you are now. Or we don't have holy water or anointing oil and stuff like that. We don't believe in sacraments. Because we're a called church, we call people from the word. That's why we have an altar. That's why we believe in preaching. So we don't have priests, we have elders and pastors, we don't have parishioners, we have members. We don't have sacraments, we have sermons. Do you see how it's all connected to ecclesia, the called? Fourthly, we don't christen babies in this church. Now listen, there are some evangelical churches that dedicate babies. They wouldn't call it christening though. But there are some churches who would believe simply splashing a baby with christening water makes them a member of the church. In fact, even in the Church of England Book of Common Prayer, the priest splashes the baby with water and then gives the baby to the parents and says, your child is now regenerate and formed into the body of Christ. It says that in the prayer book. Now that's shocking. But we don't believe in christening babies. Why? Because you're not qualified to be baptized until you're repentant and believing. Check anywhere in the Bible and you will see baptism always follows repentance and faith. And you cannot have repentance or faith without being called first. It's called people and called people alone who are qualified for baptism. That's why we don't baptize every week in this church. We probably could if we bent the rules. We want to make sure people have truly been called before we'll immerse them in the water. Because we are convinced in the Bible you have to be called to be baptized into Christ. We're told again and again in the book of Acts, it's repent and be baptized in that order. So we don't christen babies because babies are not candidates for baptism. And they cannot be added to the church until they are called. And then fifthly, our message that we preach in this church, hopefully this is true, our message is focusing on the call of grace, the finished work of Christ. We don't in this church believe in giving instructions and imperatives on morality and telling people how to live. You'll find some churches believe that preaching is giving people instructions on how to live. A gospel church preaches not on what we must do, but on what Christ has done. Because that is the call that people receive. The call of the gospel is the finished work of Christ. The call of the gospel is what? You come, you who have no money, come buy, eat and drink. Come unto me, all you who are weak, weary, and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That is the call that we're commissioned to send out. So we don't focus on law in this church, but on the finished work of Christ and the ramifications of coming to Christ in faith, which will involve imperatives. So, I hope now you see why we believe as a church. I hope you can see why we believe what we do as a church. I've written here, no priests in this church. We're all priests. We're called to be priests. To be a priest is to be someone with direct access to God. We do not have parishioners in this church. We have many people in the community we may love and care for, but they're not part of our church. You have to be regenerate to be part of this church. You have to be a member of the body of Christ. We do not have sacraments in this church. We have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Ordinances simply means the two things the Lord directly commanded us to do. Baptize and eat the meal in remembrance of him. We do not have sacraments. We believe in sermons. The preaching of God's word is the power of the call. We do not christen babies here. We baptize believers, and believers are those people who've been called. And we do not preach a law or a morality in this church. We believe morality will follow regeneration in truly called people. Our message is the message that God gave us, which is the finished work of Christ. So, in this church, we believe we are all called. We're members of Christ's body. We listen to God's word as it's proclaimed, calling people to faith. We're baptized as repentant believers because we've been called to repentance and faith. And we live by the faith of that message, the completed work of Christ. We're called. And I hope you'll agree with me, this church reflects that conviction.